dead was picking up stones and star shells and then dropping them again. Who gives a good goddamn, she said. It became increasingly obvious that, as an Indian, Phuket was a dead loss. That evening I went out by myself, scrambling through the bushes and overhung the steep path, my feet slipping on the fallen spruce needles that covered the ground. When I reached the shore, I walked along the firm, damp sand to the small pier that my father had built, and sat down there. I heard someone else crashing through the undergrowth in the bracken, and for a moment I thought Phuket had changed her mind, but it turned out to be my father. He sat beside me on the pier, and we waited without speaking. At night, the lake was like black glass with a streak of amber, which was the path of the moon. All around, the spruce tree grew tall and close-set, branches darkly sharp against the sky, which was lightened by a cold flickering of stars. Then the loons began their calling. They rose like phantom birds from the nests on the shore and flew out onto the dark, still surface of the water. No one can ever describe that mutilating sound, the crying of the loons, and no one who has heard it can ever forget it. Plaintive, and yet with a quality of chilling mockery, those voices belong to a world separated by eons from our neat world of summer cottages and the lighted lamps of home. They must have sounded just like that, my father remarked, before any person ever set foot here. And he laughed. You could say the same, of course, about sparrows or chipmunks, but somehow it only strikes you that way with the loons.